All right. So are you older than 33? Then you made it through the dark side. You're on the other side. You didn't become an Illuminati sacrifice, right? You made it. Now, they're still going to try to mess with you. But they actually try to take people out at 33 or before. And they really want to do it at 33. If they can get you to commit suicide at 33, that's like some kind of ecstasy for them. They enter into ecstasy. That's their, see, they chase so many skirts, or if it's a woman, they chase so many men that they don't get any ecstasy from their spouse anymore, so they have to get it out of abuse. I want you to really think about what I'm saying. I wasn't going to talk about this, but since it came to my mind, I'm going to talk about it. They've done so much. They've chased pleasure so much, and they destroyed their heart, right? Whoredom, wine, and new wine take away the heart. They get drunk. They go to the bars. They date two or three in one night, you know? It's actually kind of sick, to be honest with you. So they destroy their heart. They destroy their soul. So they can't get any ecstasy out of normal, healthy human relations, so they try to get it out of something that's abuse. Abusive. They only get pleasure out of abuse. They want to be abused. They actually want you to cross their boundaries so they can cross your boundaries. They want to be abused so they can abuse you. Starts when they're, it's like a division. When you think back when you were a child, you had certain people in your, as a kid, you had certain people in your neighborhood or family, whatever. You could tell they were on the dark side. They might have been 13, 14, 15 years old, but you knew they were on the dark side. They were always tormenting, bullying and everything. You knew who was on the dark side. You couldn't believe it. You thought you could fix them. You thought you could change them. It might have been a parent. It might have been an uncle, aunt, cousin, friend, neighbor, whatever. You thought you could help them, but you realize after time you couldn't help them. They did so much sin, it destroyed their heart. Everybody sins, but instead of being repentant, and some of them do fake repentance. You know, there's people out there that they'll act like they're repentant, but they don't. It's fake. They really don't have a heart. They really don't have any kind of repentance at all, to be honest with you. It's all fake. Fake is all good out. They'll draw you in with that fake repentance. Instead of saying, yeah, I did it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the pleasures of sin for a season, but then, you know, I realized what was going on. The devil was trying to destroy my heart. Instead of them admitting they enjoyed it or wanted it, they just, it's somebody else's fault. I got drawn in because of somebody else, projecting it onto somebody else. Instead of admitting the truth to their own self, they want to project out a fake reality. And that's how the narcissists live. But that's just the heart. The heart's deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? God has to reveal your sin, and he has to reveal that you're in a death cult, and he has to reveal that you love the death cult. They want to stand on the line, the crevice. They want their cake and eat it too. And they want you to believe that they just want what's right, but they actually want what's right and what's wrong all at the same time. When you get married, you think, oh, this is going to be the perfect. Marriage is mainly designed to cut you, to be honest with you. It's actually designed to cut you. You really want somebody. It's actually to cut out the old and cut in the new, just like everything else in your life, your job, your boss. Your boss, if it's a good boss, they want to build you up. They want to see you prosper and do good and be good at your job. But they have to cut out some stuff if you're being lazy, or if you're procrastinating, or if you're, the boss is scanning you. The boss is actually watching everything you do. They're scanning you. Whatever it is, they're watching. And they're trying to do it in a skillful way. So marriage should be skillful too. The sex life, that'll become routine. That'll get old after a while. Just everything gets old down here in the natural. The Bible says the eye is never full. The Bible says the womb is never full. The desire is never full, right? But you have to train yourself to be content with whatever situation you're in. And you have to understand that this whole reality is a cutting, Turing machine to cut out the old, cut in the new. So the best thing to do is marry somebody who's going to build you up. And if they see something in your life, they need to do it skillfully. So if you're married, you need to do it skillfully. The other person might not ever wake up. A lot of times what I watch with people, especially people shacked up, what they do is they have this form of righteousness and they're actually religious and they might even be saved and they're actually mad at everybody else. They're mad at everybody else, but they can't see they're just as guilty. The very thing that they're angry about in somebody else, they're guilty of it. Seriously. And that's true with everybody. If you're really mad at somebody for something, if something really makes you mad, let's say you get mad at somebody doing road rage, you probably have road rage deep down. Let's say you get mad at somebody who steals, you probably have envy that they get something for free and you want stuff for free. Let's say you're really get mad at somebody who's cheating, it's because you might want to cheat. Let's say you get mad at somebody who's rich and they did the discipline, they got rich, but you're lazy and you get mad because they're rich, or you're jealous because they're rich. Because you're probably greedy. You're probably greedy. Instead of, if you let it flow through you, it'll become automatic. You'll get rich without even trying. And even if you don't have, even if you don't get rich, you have a flow, a prosperous flow. Richness is not about having a bunch of money. Richness is knowing how to manage what you got and do it right. Let it flow through you. If you just had a bunch of money sitting in the bank and you never helped anybody, do you really call that rich? That's like the mindset of a hoarder. You know, if you let it go through you, flow through you, God will give you free stuff. Seriously. What you project out in anger is probably what you're guilty of. That's why you're so angry, because you're actually angry at yourself. Why would you be angry at another person and their sin? You're not their God. You're not their Savior. You're not Jesus. God is not even angry with them. So if you're, God is actually trying, I mean, he's angry with the wicked every day, yeah. His bow is bent, but he wants to get them saved. He's sending the gospel their way to get them saved. So if you're holding a grudge or deep down bitterness and upset because somebody's prospering, then that's an internal issue. It's always internal. God's bow is bent. Not at the wicked only, but his bow is bent at your greed and your laziness and your internal flesh mind. Your flesh mind has to die. The spirit man has to live. And it's a daily, I mean, we're still here. The reason we're still here is because it's a sanctification process. If somebody around you says, I've already arrived, and then you just say, well, why are you still here? If you've already arrived, Enoch, he was translated. He walked with God and was not. If you've already arrived, you should be already taken out of this place, right? I thought this was, because you get justified, and then you go through sanctification, and then when you get your new body, you're glorified. So if you're still in the sanctification process down here, then why do you think you've already arrived? Because you're deceiving yourself and you want to project that out to others. And the reason you want to project that you've already arrived out to others is because there's something deep down that's still a legalist you're still in legalism. You think you got to be good enough. You think you got to be perfect. You think instead of the righteousness of Christ, you want to be perfect. Now, those who seek perfection, that's fine. But you don't seek perfection to the point where you have to do it by works, levels, ranks, grades, some kind of rule-based living or law. You do it by inner renewal. The inner man has to be renewed. Don't beat yourself up if you say a curse word or if you look at something or say something or do something. Just pay attention to that. That's really just an AI program. If you're saved, it's really not who you really are. Just pay attention to that repeat and realize that you got a conviction over it for a reason, because you're living in the AI flesh mind. The spirit mind doesn't really go by. See, this is why one of the reasons I do these audios is to retrain my brain, because you're surrounded by a death cult in the music, the TV, conversation with people, everybody you talk to. Everybody's like an extension of the death cult, and they don't even know it by the bloodline, the culture. The bloodline lies, the culture lies. So they're saying stuff to you, and you have to counteract it. And one way you can counteract it, and you don't even have to upload it online, just get your audio recorder and start speaking the Bible, speaking the truth. Just start speaking. When you speak truth into the matrix, you're actually speaking truth into your heart, your mind, and your soul, because you're actually learning from yourself. Because the Holy Spirit is flowing through you, and the truth never contradicts. So when you speak, and you speak the truth, and something contradicts, you say, wait a minute. Before you even say it, you say, well, that's not Bible. So you have to reconfigure your thought, your mind, your words, and speak according to the truth. David in the Psalms, he said, he spoke to his own soul. Oh, my soul, why are you disquieted, or why are you not thinking right, soul? The soul is where your will, your emotions, or your intellect. Sometimes you have to tell your own soul. So you're seated in the heavenlies in Christ. You're walking down here with an AI flesh program body. The body's from the AI. And so you have to tell your AI bodyship to think right, to do right, to have the right mind, and you have to speak to your own soul. From the spirit plane, from the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ has to speak to the mind of the flesh, the old Adam, the old Adamic nature, and say, tell yourself it's a lie. You get greedy. You get worried. So let's say you get worried. That's pretty much everybody right there. So this is a good one. So you worry about your power bill or job or somebody, your spouse leaving or something like that, something stupid. It's just stupid stuff. Okay, so what if they do leave? So you worry about your spouse divorcing you or leaving or whatever. Okay, so what if they do leave? You deal with it. You worry about your job letting you go. Go get another job. Go get a part. Okay, so if you're worried about your job all the time, go get a part-time job. And if they let you go, fire you, lay you off, if the economy crashes, you got a part-time job. And if they let you go, you can go get another part-time job, and you have two part-time jobs, which is a full-time job. Everybody deals with worry. So what you do is you have a hedge. You create a hedge, and you tell your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your inner. So a lot of people, especially the women, they have their emotions are out of whack, right? So when your emotions get out of whack, men have it too. Men can deny it all they want, but they might have more anger than anything. But a man who's angry, when a man gets angry, it's actually more emotional than the woman's trait, to be honest with you, because he needs to be controlled. Be angry and sin not. It's okay to be angry, but control it, right? But tell your emotions the truth. Why am I in a hurry? The cog, okay. Soul, why are you in a hurry? The cogs of the universe turn slow. Why are you in a hurry to to snag that woman worried about she's going to find somebody else. Stupid. The cogs of the universe turn slow. Are you not trusting God? And women that way probably think that way too. Why are you in a hurry? You think you're going to lose that man? If you believe in a soulmate, or some of these women believe in their little, what do they call that? Especially the witches. What do they call it? Twin flame. If they're your twin flame, you think they can change universes and run? I ought to do a series on the New Age stuff and use the Bible and flip it back to the Bible. That's actually what I'm doing with the code. I'm taking the gematria lies and bring it back to the Bible using code. So if you're twin... So you're worried about your twin flame not escaping, right? Well, what if he marries the wrong one? What are you talking about? I thought that he was your twin flame. Why are you worried? Trust the universe. The cogs of the universe. God's system turns slow. God created this system. It turns slow. The cogs... Okay, so let's say you're worried about your job. So they're going to let you go. They're going to give you warnings before they let you go. They don't really want to let anybody go. Now, if they lay you off, that's a different story. But, because if the economy crashes or whatever, but they're just going to lay off the fluff. If a company is going to lay people off, they're going to lay off the fluff, the people who are not producing. So there's your answer right there. Instead of worrying about losing your job, just while you're there, do it and trust God that he'll provide another job. They're only going to lay off the fluff. If you've ever run a business, you can't have any fluff. You can't have people not producing because you're losing money. And that's true with rentals. That's true with everything. They gotta produce. And you're actually, the reason, and you know, a true boss or a true employer, they're doing it for your benefit. They're not trying to hurt you. They're trying to get you to produce so they can have a job. You can have a job. The manager, the regional, the CEO, and the other employees, you're not there just for yourself. You're there to help other people have a job. So if you're slacking, you're actually attacking the job of other people around you. There's no man is an island. No woman is an island. If you're in a home, okay, so let's say a woman wants to get married. She wants to marry a man with money, and she wants to just sit there and sit on the couch all day and get on her phone, not do nothing. Do you really think that God is going to honor that? If you go into a marriage where you're wanting the other spouse to do everything and you do nothing, that's an internal problem. You got something going on in the inside that needs to be changed. The cogs of the universe turn slow because God is not in a hurry, and he created a system. See, if God was in a hurry, it would destroy you. If the universe was in a hurry, it would destroy you. But God is not out to destroy you. He's out to destroy your flesh mind, but he's out to build up your spirit mind. God, if you read the Bible, there's a verse that says God doesn't want to do you harm. He wants to prosper you. But you have to get in tune with him, with the universe, with the types and the shadows, with the archetypes, with the proper flow. You have to get in the flow. Real love, if it's not real love, it's not going to last. You have to get in the real love, agape love. So let's say you have somebody that you're in love with, right? But is it real love, or is it love from the AI flesh mind? Is it love that you've known in the past and it never worked? Why do you keep yoking up and going with the same kind of people that you did in the past? You have to look at yourself. You can't blame those other people. If every relationship in your life has been destroyed, you finally have to admit, hey, wait a minute, I'm doing something wrong. I'm either picking the wrong kind or it's me. And it might be a combination of both, but the reason you're picking the wrong kind is because you think that love is according to the Gentile mindset of love instead of God's love. Love is not an easy path, right? No greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus went to the cross for love. God sent his son for love. Love is not going to be easy. I'm not saying you should sacrifice. Look, I'm not saying sacrifice yourself for somebody because Jesus already did it. But I'm saying there's going to be some sacrifice. But you've got to take care of yourself first so that you can have the strength to sacrifice. Okay, let's say there's a man out there who's taking care of his family to sacrifice and work for his family. Which is good, which is normal. But if he don't eat right, if he don't sleep right, if the woman's messing up his sleep, if she's not helping with the house, think about what I'm telling you. If the man's out there working two jobs and he wants to sleep, he wants to eat right, he wants to take care of his body ship, but she's not helping him, how long do you think that's going to last? He's killing himself for you, but you're not helping him sustain that body ship. You're not feeding him right. You're not giving him peace. You're not keeping the house clean. You're not doing anything to help him take care of you. When you take care of him, he'll take care of you. When he takes care of her, she'll take care of him. But if it's just a one-way, a non-reciprocal situation, do you really think that's going to last? Do you not think somebody's going to get mad and get bitter and get upset? If they're not giving back, do you think they're going to keep giving? If somebody's not giving back, so they're going to pay you a paycheck, but you're not giving back, you're not willing to work about 5 minutes over or 30 minutes over or sacrifice. They're taking care of you every day. They're paying your, they're giving you a check every week, every 2 weeks or whatever, every month if it's a school teacher or something. But you're not willing to sacrifice. They're sacrificing for you. The other coworkers are sacrificing, but you're not wanting to. Everybody else is, but you're not. How long do you think that'll last? If a spouse is sacrificing, but you're not, and it's all about me, 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 it's all about me, you're selfish. Your heart is corrupt. Your mind is corrupt. You're a Gentile. You're not. You're thinking like a Gentile. You're not thinking like a saint. See, a saint used to be an ain't, and there's an S in front of ain't for a reason, because you've been integrated back in. The letter S is integration or summation to bring you back. The snake on the cross is to bring you back to God, bring you back to sainthood. You want to use the streets. So who paved, so when you got born, these streets and these highways were here before you were born. And so you want to use the streets and the highway, but you want to litter and tear it up? Who do you think has to pick up that litter? The city? Who do you think's paying the litter, the taxes? Everybody else around you. So you want to do evil and just do whatever and be selfish and have no consequences, but you're actually affecting everybody else? There's always consequences to every decision. There's a consequence to every decision. C-O-N, sequence. Consequence is C-O-N, sequence. Consequence, sequence, together, sequence. So everything has a following, a series, a consequence, to follow after, in series. If a woman has a Gentile mindset, men don't marry her. If she has a mindset of a saint, the elect saints, if she understands that there's consequences to every decision, you can marry that kind. But if you got one that don't understand, she just thinks that she can just have no consequences to her choices or her decisions, don't marry her. And the same with the women. If you see a man, here's the ones that I see like that. They always got a backup. They always run to their mom or their daddy or their grandmother or their grandfather. They always have somebody to rescue them. Those are the ones that, and they might have a big house and all that, because they always have a backup plan. They don't have any intestinal fortitude to look at themselves in the mirror and say, I'm not going to do this anymore. They're just causing everybody else pain in their life. They're vampires. you see it in the rich kids. And you know what happens? They did that to their parents, and when they have kids, their kids are going to do it to them. There's going to be a they've trained their brain to justify that they run back to mama or they run back to daddy when things break apart. And so when their kids become adults, then their kids run back to them. They're actually vagabonds and vagrant, and they're in and out of jail, and they run back to their mom or their daddy because somebody's always going to rescue them and coddle them and protect them. They don't want to sacrifice, so then their kids are going to do it. It's just going to be a repeat. And the very thing they did to their people that was backing them up, the very thing they did is going to happen to them. And they're going to wonder why. Because it was a pattern created. I'd go to my mom with a situation. She'd say, figure it out. She might not say it in no words, but that's what she meant. Figure it out. Make it happen. She didn't say it in those words, but that's pretty much what she was training me. Make it work. Figure it out. It's a rough life. Don't depend on nobody else to figure it out for you. You got to do it. If you want somebody else to do it for you, you become weak. You become a weakling. You really want to be weak? Quit eating sugar, and that'll help you. That'll change your brain. Sugar's actually messing with your brain and making you weak. It's taking away your motivation, and it's destroying you in more ways than just... Sugar's going to give you neuropathy. Sugar's going to give you gout. Sugar's going to mess up your microbiome. Sugar's going to make you weak. It's going to take away your muscles. Sugar is going to destroy you, and you can counteract it. If you've done it your whole life, you can counteract it. Just get serious about it. But you have to be serious. And you'll see your body starts to renew. And you can do this with your mind. If your whole life you've been coddled and somebody covered you, oh, it's okay, don't. Really, what was your mom or your dad doing when they did that? They were trying to get their, some kind of weird, they were trying to meet some kind of need through their child instead of through healthy relationships. That's what was really going on. And so they projected it onto you, and then you're going to do it to your kids. That's really what's happening, people.